Well, we've talked about this case a lot this week, and we said at some point there would be a long story about John Sawchuk and his past. Star Tribune provided that about 2.5 hours. John Sawchuk is the individual who shot Davis Maturi, who had been harassing Davis Maturi and his family for months and months and months. Davis Maturi and the family, excuse me, had called police through 911 30-some times. The police, MPD, had said they had been observing frequently since April, but they were waiting to approach him, confront him, arrest him, whatever it might be, when he was out of the house. They waited too long. Complex situation, I certainly understand. But clear cut, they waited too long because Davis Maturi was shot. And again, Dave Harrigan, will you find me the Brian O'Hara apology? When we've had texters saying, oh, police didn't do anything wrong. Not denying in any way the difficulty of police work is on a regular basis, including this case, someone with the problematic past that Liz Sawyer and Paul Walsh point out, and we're going to highlight some of those items in said story. But regarding this case, and there's still an after-action report taking place now, and I hope that is released soon. Here's what Brian O'Hara said after everything was done, including Maturi was shot.
Yes, and it was in a press conference Sunday. He said, in part, in this instance, we failed this victim 100% because that should not have happened to him. The Minneapolis police somehow did not act urgently enough to prevent that individual from being shot. And to that victim, I say I am sorry.
All right, so here are some of the parts of this story that are new. Long list of restraining orders not involving Davis Maturi. 10 court petitions, Dave Harrigan, since 2007. 5 criminal complaints since 2016. All this taking place and all this available to the police, Dave Harrigan, when Davis Maturi is calling over and over and over again, when it's threats of physical violence, it's harassment, it's property damage, and all this has happened, okay? Even issues with his own sister. So let's get to this part. Mother, 3 children who lived next door in the home now owned by Maturi. Okay? Lived in this house before Davis Maturi. Also secured an order for protection later that year, and they're talking about 2011. So 13 years ago. After telling the court of a litany of distressing actions by Sawchuk, cutting the cable TV cord, video recording their movements, peeping in the bathroom window at night, making numerous false reports to police about loud music, trespassing, trying to burn down the building. In one case, Sawchuk called 911 to claim the family was cooking drugs when guess what they were doing, according to the police report? Baking a cake. Actions only escalated, making her children afraid to sleep in their own rooms. This, again, is the home next door for the people who lived before Davis Maturi. Shortly after the previous order of protection expired, the mother was granted a second one. Harassment resumed. Slicing open his screen window, screaming at her son while he was in the shower, banging at the door at all hours, demanding that they move. And just to add to it, he kept a handgun visible in the second story window. occasionally flashing it, according to the woman who lived there. And by the way, considering his past, I 100% believe them, right? They have credibility. He has, at this point, from what we know. Maybe we'll learn some new information, Dave. Right now, how much credibility would you say he has?
Not a lot. Bordering on zero.
Yep, I'm on the border here. Police, according to, again, Walsh and Sawyer, encourage her to keep reporting. But she says the authorities never did anything once they arrived because guess what? He always retreated inside the house. Sometimes police dismissed her claims, saying they had no proof. A female officer says, ma'am, if you don't feel safe, it's better for you to move. Are you bleeping kidding me? How would you feel on that? Because, again, the evidence is pretty overwhelming on Maturi, so I am strongly inclined to believe this. You're an incompetent police officer in this case. Maybe not in total, but in this particular matter, if you don't feel safe, maybe you should move. It's happening next door to you and the girls.
Yeah, it's not an acceptable answer. I mean, the litany of items you just read. My goodness gracious. And how do you then
what
say,
arrogance.
Well, yeah.
A tone deaf. Another neighbor in this area shared an alley with Sawchuck for 30 years. Oh, that must be fun.
Yeah, it sounds delightful. I'm sure it was very helpful with the snow removal and things.
Relationship soured about a decade ago when Sawchuck became irate about a dog in his yard and relieving itself in an adjacent parking lot. Any kind of intrusion was not welcome. She said Sawchuck soon began to follow her, berate her, video record her as she walked the dog outside. She also filed an order for protection. She pursued a second order of protection 2 years later. Sawchuck, at one point, came after her with a 4-foot piece of lumber and yelled, "Get your dog off my property." He swung it down on her left shoulder, delivering a blow that threw her to the ground, knocking off her glasses. She gashed her hand on the pavement. He was charged with a misdemeanor assault and disorderly conduct. Guess what? He doesn't appear in court. She and her longtime partner took steps to avoid the shared alley, but he still found ways to seek them out. At least once, members of the nearby community garden physically removed Sawchuck after he stormed, screaming at them. I mean, I can keep going. It's a list, and I'm going to. Altercation with police officer. He slashed the squad car's tires with a knife, refused to drop the weapon, was followed by nearly 6 months civil commitment. Doctor's examination determined that Sawchuck was suffering from a host of psychological illnesses, among them paranoia, bipolar, delusional disorders. Was charged with second-degree assault. Judge found him incompetent to stand trial. The civil commitment ended in January 17th when he was released. People talk about living in hell. Maturi, I don't know, do we know this part? Once managed to physically restrain Sawchuck following an April 8th altercation, hoping police would arrest him. In video captured by the neighbor, attorney is seen on top of a barefoot Sawchuck. Sawchuck yells, "You're always bleeping with my property." Maturi responds, "You're wanted by the cops. This guy assaulted me and my wife, and he went on my property." It just goes on and on and on. Substantial emotional distress. Maturi is continuing reporting his repeated threats. Residents question how a dangerous man can be wanted by authorities for so long and avoid accountability by refusing to answer the door. If there's a weapons call, why are they just waiting outside? Again, weapons reported in this. Mental illness clearly seems a part of this man's life, right? And so the police, again, facing a difficult, dangerous, complex situation, which for some officers comes up on a regular basis. And thank God we have quality police officers. And knowing that a gun had been made available, it puts the officers in a potentially dangerous situation. But as Brian O'Hara said, he apologized. They waited too long. And I feel terrible how often police officers are put in jeopardy, and I get it, that they signed up knowing this is a possibility. It is still scary. And to me, it is still inexcusable that they waited as long as they did. Isn't it even worse now with good reporting by Liz Sawyer and Paul Walsh on this?
Yes, of course it is. You talk about the attacking of the neighbor with the 2x4. I mean, it's obviously gone well beyond words, well beyond intimidation, well beyond showing a gun.
Showing a gun.
In the past. He physically attacked somebody with a...
And again, when he finally used the gun, and when city council members, and some of these city council members and activists are absolutely hypocrites because they want it both ways. We got to wait. We got to be patient. Police are too forceful. And now, whoa, you're gone. Did they play politics with it? Sure. Does Jacob Fry play politics with it at times? Sure. All politicians do. If you're a politician, you're playing politics. When you're answering any questions about it, would they have been better off just directly going to O'Hara and Fry? Sure. Were they wanting visibility? Yes. All sorts of politicians do it. But I don't know how the after-action report is going to make the police look notably better. Because I think if you're objective, you know this potentially was fraught with danger for the police. They've got documents on this guy for 17 years. And you have one insulting police officer, and that is not an overall reflection of MPD. I don't believe that for a second. Oh, ma'am, if you're not safe, maybe you should move. I would find an attorney instantly after that comment. I mean, can you think of how... Maybe it's going to give us greater depth of the concern the police had. But at some point, by the way, after the shot, they went in there with the heavy artillery, didn't they?
Yeah. Threatened to tear gas the home. That's what got them out, right?
Yep. Do it sooner. You want to react, you can. 651-461-9226. Am I wrong in 15? Among the texts coming in... Where was the behavioral response team, MPD and others, Dave, and we've had guests on this, including even Booker Hodges from the Bloomington Police Chief, Hodges is different. He feels like they're better off not going initially, but later interacting on mental health challenges.
Mm-hmm.
MPD has people go out. I guess, I mean, maybe they did have a behavioral response specialist with them the times during the day when they went out. I don't know. Will the response, the after report show us how long they would wait by the house in this case? Because they said they went by frequently during the day.
Well, I have to assume concerns about mental health and the approach to it. A lot different today than when we're talking up to 17 years ago.
Yeah, for sure.
When these things started happening.
And again, when you know showing a gun, attacking a neighbor with a 4-foot piece of wood, you need to have multiple traditional police officers out there along with potentially someone in the behavioral response team. Somebody talking about mental institutions. This is a bit of our challenge, right? Some of the old school mental institutions were awful, right?
Mm-hmm.
Some put somebody in there, and God knows if family members wouldn't advocate for them, what potentially could happen. But we have individuals who sometimes are just evil and sometimes are mentally unstable and evil, or sometimes just mentally unstable, that leads them to that, right? Do we have enough places for them to go? We talk about, you know, with 11, 12, 13-year-olds and how they're not mentally competent enough to deal with cases, and so they're let out. In this case, multiple times brought in, and a judge deemed him not mentally competent to stand trial. What do we do? How far do we go? When does that line get abused? It's in this case, you're like, yes, this person needed significant mental health, and the folks around them should not have been living in fear. And by the way, it's not easy just to move. You know, it's, okay, I'll just move. No problem. I'll get a big profit from this house, and I'll be able to move. Sure, that's easy. But having places, and the bar should be high for civil commitment. And when you can do this and harm, my mother has faced significant mental health issues in her life. There were times I was worried if she was going to harm herself. She's in a better place now. But I did, when I was younger, meet with folks about what leeway I had. And at the time, and this is decades ago, they were like, unless you can show proof that she's going to harm others. And I go, no, she's not doing that. I worry about her harming herself or not taking care of herself. That was decades ago. You can see how difficult this is, right?
Yeah.
On forced civil commitments and how far some people might go.
It's not, and it should be difficult to take away somebody's freedom.
Absolutely. let's get to this one, because we've had this text more than a few times. If he was black, the cops would have stormed the house, and that is shooting white privilege. If not, please explain. A number of people have raised that. This was Sawchuk is white, Maturi is black. I don't know how many stories have pointed that out, but a number have. I can see how certain individuals, a person of color, who may feel like he or she has been targeted or read stories or people close to them, would look at patterns and feel that way. And MPD has been documented in a federal count of having certain individuals with a racial bias. That doesn't mean those folks are in the department right now. And that doesn't mean it was ever the majority. They were isolated incidents, but they had impact. They had power. And I know too many people in my life who have told me accounts where they have been treated differently, and it seems like they were treated differently because of the color of their skin. Does not mean every single time. But if it happens to you, or it happens to individuals who are like you, religion, race, you're going to wonder that. So Dave, for me, do I know 100% in this case? I don't. Do I fault someone for feeling that way? I don't.
They've learned from history.
Yeah.
History of this country says there's a very good possibility of that. Doesn't mean that in this case, you know, every case is different. Doesn't mean that in this case, you know, it's 100% true that if Sawchuk was black, police would have been in there 15 years ago.
Don't know.
We don't know, but it's far from, you know, an impossibility.
And for the folks that know, it had nothing to do with it. A lot of those people, white people, who never have faced it in their entire life. And again, this isn't in any way a broad brush about all police officers. It's certain police officers where it's been documented or fired or reported on, and they linger too long. And again, it is a small percentage, but it has been reported across this country. Let's take Joe real quick here. Joe, go ahead. You're on News Talk 830 WCCO.
Hey, Chad, this is Joe up in Rush City. I just wanted to let you know that we got 3 inches of snow yesterday, so I'll hang up and listen. Thanks.
Thank you, Joe. I appreciate that. Good call from Joe. We'll now block Joe. He'll never be able to get on the air again. Excellent. Let's go to Am I Wrong? Next.